Well, Dennis, we had a few issues last week, but we're not going to have issues today. It's going to run smoothly. Everything's going to be wonderful.
I'm very pleased.
Now, today you want to finalise your discussion on the famous Asian remedy known as astragalus. You have presented it as a useful immune system enhancer, but today you want to talk about your discovery of the famous astragalus 8 formula.
Very interesting topic. Astragalus is one of many Asian herbs, or frequently known as Chinese herbal remedies, and on its own it's quite a remarkable remedy for addressing some conditions associated with the immune system. But probably, I'd say more than probably, its most famous use is in what's referred to as the astragalus 8 formula, of which I'm very proud to say I had the privilege of introducing into Australian herbal medicine probably close to 30 years ago, an event that I believe has left an indelible mark on natural medicine in this country for the results that it subsequently has been able to achieve. I'll talk a lot about the astragalus 8 formula and my remarkable discovery of it, and the history of it from my discovery onwards. Should be a good program.
It will be. It's always a good program. This is Health Naturally on 2NU RFM, and we are going to get straight into it with Anne from Hawk's Nest. How are you going, Anne?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks. You've got an infection in the colon.
Yeah, that's right. I recently had an infection in my colon and was wondering if there is a natural supplement I could take that might benefit this situation.
Have you resolved the infection? Has it been adequately treated medically?
Yes, I've seen the doctor and had 2 doses of antibiotics, yes. And I'm continuing to follow that up.
Okay. And is your bowel functioning back to normal?
No, it's not.
So are you diarrheic?
Yeah, and the doctor said that was the antibiotic.
Yeah. Okay, look, and I think your doctor's right on that. I'll make a few suggestions. Did you have diverticulitis?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Look, for the sake of listeners, diverticulitis is a condition where what we might loosely refer to as pockets in the bowel, which I would suggest most of us have, certainly in the Western world, it's endemic due to our low-fibre diet. But most of us have them, but unfortunately they can become infected and the condition becomes diverticulitis. Now, I've been very simple in my terminology there. That's why the condition must be treated with antibiotics, because any infection, particularly in the bowel, can be a problem. So you've been well managed, and I think your doctor is correct in saying that the diarrhea that you are battling with presently is a byproduct of the procedure that you needed to have, i.e., the antibiotics. I'll make a few suggestions, and I'm sure your general practitioner or your medical managers generally wouldn't have too many objections to what I'm going to suggest. First of all, I would suggest that you, and you may have done this, go to your pharmacy or your health food store and get what are called probiotics. Now, probiotics are very popularly used today and increasingly recommended, I note, by medical professionals, and the theory behind it is that what probiotics do is help recolonise, and again I'm talking in lay language, but recolonise the bowel or the colon as it's known, so that your balance of microorganisms in your bowel is re-established, overcoming the diarrhea tendency. In other words, probiotics are a good natural way of improving the overall flora of your bowel, which is necessary to maintain the health of the bowel and also to overcome diarrhea. However, I'd also suggest that you consider using the herb Golden Seal. Golden Seal is an American herb, very popularly used in gastrointestinal problems, particularly where there's been infection or inflammation. It has a very well-known natural chemistry in it, which is antimicrobial, but it is also what's known as an astringent. And by that, it tends to lessen diarrheic conditions in the gut and help normalise the bowel. The third thing I would say is it's almost mandatory that you procure a herb known as slippery elm.
Oh, yeah.
Slippery elm is exceedingly safe. It's probably the best known Western herb. It comes from America. It comes from the elm tree. It would be difficult for those of us trained in Western herbal medicine to practice competently without access to this remarkable remedy. It's soothing to the bowel. It normalises or tends to normalise transit time and will tend to lessen the watery nature of your stools. Those three things, perhaps start with slippery elm and probiotics, but they're good ways of addressing this problem.
I was going to ask you too, Dennis, what about ginger? Because ginger's good for diarrhoea and vomiting, so would it be good for, you know, diarrhoea?
Ginger's a good herb, a good herb mainly for gut conditions of nausea, as evidenced in things like travel sickness, etc. It may not be a wise thing to use in a condition like this where the bowel has been infected. A ginger is a very hot and warming herb and may tend to irritate mildly the gut wall. I'm a great fan, as you know, of these sorts of herbs, but I think in this case where the bowel wall is just recovering from an infection, it probably is not that wise to use what we'd call a heating herb. That's why I think going the normal way of slippery elm, the use of probiotics and perhaps golden seal, but start with slippery elm and the probiotics, and if it's a little bit tardy, well then go to your pharmacy or health food store and get some capsules of golden seal.
Okay, thank you very much for your call, Anne, and good luck with it. Next on the line we've got Alicia. How are you going, Alicia?
Hi, I'm well. I called up a few weeks ago about my daughter with the low iron.
Yes.
And after seeing the GP and calling your show, she's very sensitive to textures with food, and we didn't have any luck with the liquid and the herbs that we tried. She wouldn't try and swallow the tablet. And so for a little girl on the spectrum with very low iron, is for a 12 to 13 year old, is there any risk around having an iron infusion just to get the iron up and then work on her food?
Alicia, my advice here would be to follow the guidance of your medical practitioners.
Yes.
This is the wisest thing to do. I'm not a medical practitioner, as you know, although, as you would well know, I have great regard for our medical professionals. I would follow their advice. I am familiar with the procedure. I'm not familiar with the way in which it's administered to the children. Follow the guidance of your good doctor.
Yeah, they were sort of questioning because how young she is, and I thought I'd see if you'd have any advice on that. I'm just sort of trying to get the iron up and then work on it because she's very lethargic, very... Yeah.
I think it comes back to what we probably touched on last time we spoke, and that is then the problem is essentially associated with what she's eating or what she's not eating.
That's how I would see it.
So that puts it into a different category altogether, where perhaps after talking to your GP, it might be wise to look to someone who specialises in treating what might be called eating disorders.
It's a tricky one. She's just so sensitive around all the foods and textures and different things. But I just thought if you had any advice on that, I'm just trying to get information from everything.
I understand. And look, I relate to your condition very well, my dear, and I'm not being superficial when I'm saying follow the advice of your good doctor and discuss with him, and I say this quite seriously, whether in his or her opinion your daughter might wise to see someone who has a specialist capacity in treating young people who suffer from what I would refer to as, in her case, an early stage of an eating disorder.
Yeah, that's right. that's right. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. All right, well, you have a fabulous day.
Thank you, Alicia. Thanks,
Alicia. All the best.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, next we've got Jackie from Pocolban. Hi, Jackie.
Oh, good morning or good afternoon.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Dennis.
You're regarding a gut. You've got a gut issue, or you've had been on antibiotics for a long time?
Yes, I have. I had an orthopaedic procedure back in November. Since then, I developed a chronic infection that seemed to attack my bone. Apparently, the infection was known as an MSSA. Mm. So after a course of fairly strong antibiotics orally, the wound was continuously breaking down. So I'm now on a PICC line, which I've been on for about a week under the guidance of an infectious control team at the John Hunter.
Yes.
I've never really had anything like this before in my life, and I'm really not keen being on the antibiotic. However, it appears that I need this to get on top of things.
Yes.
So I was really calling to see if there may be something that you might advise that could be good for my system. I'm coming towards the end, hopefully, that might pick me up or abdominally help my gut long-term as to recover from being on a long-term antibiotic.
Are you still on the antibiotic, Jackie?
Yes, I am. I've got one more week of the PICC line, and then they're advising I could be on some oral Augmentin after that.
Okay. Look, obviously in a condition like this, anything I'm going to say is fairly not mundane, but certainly not in any great depth, because your condition is a serious condition and is being well managed from what you tell me. A couple of things, however, that I would recommend is that I mentioned earlier the value of the herb slippery elm, particularly for the gut. Now, it is not a powerful pharmacological remedy. Its primary action is to function as both a prebiotic and a probiotic. That means its overall effect is to encourage, as far as possible, a normalisation of a lot of functions that the gut has to carry out to maintain its health. It is soothing. It is regulating on the gut contents, particularly transit time through the gut. It protects, dramatically protects the gut wall from levels of inflammation, and it could be valuable there. The other great remedy, which is much more active and needs to be used with a degree of knowledge and discretion, and if you're going to use it, it should be monitored by a professional, that is a doctor, pharmacist, or a trained medical herbalist. But I mentioned the herb Golden Seal. Now, any practitioner who's practicing professionally Western herbal medicine, other than just retailing herbs, I worry about the ad hoc retailing of some herbs, because they really do need to be medically appreciated and monitored. But Golden Seal is remarkable for reinforcing the action of slippery elm in protecting the gut wall, and also maintaining a healthy antimicrobial activity. Any gut infection or residual infection would be treated in Western herbal medicine by the application of Golden Seal, probably in an encapsulated form. I would think that as a useful way of maintaining a healthy chemistry in your gut, the antimicrobial benefits of Golden Seal would be useful. And Golden Seal also has a spin-off effect on infections generally, hence it is used in some chronic skin conditions, for instance, where it is supported by the herb Echinacea. I would be suggesting probiotics. I would be suggesting some slippery elm and the use of some Golden Seal.
Great. All right. Well, that's been very helpful. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, Dennis. Bye.
Just like Christine from Mona Vale has done. Hi, Christine. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Christine.
I'd like to ask you, I've just been diagnosed recently with Parkinson's.
Yes.
And I would like to know what I could possibly take instead of taking the tablets and medicines that the doctor has prescribed. I've had a look and I don't like the side effects. And I was wondering if you would be able to put me in a direction I could take.
So, are you early in the diagnosis, Christine?
Yes, I am.
Are you on Matapar or anything yet?
No, to tell you the truth, I haven't taken anything yet because I've been nervous to take anything. And my aunt explained to me about your show and she suggested that I give you a ring.
Okay. Well, let me just say that it would be foolish of me to say, look, here is the cure for Parkinson's disease. Immediately, that would warrant a claim of quackery. And caution listeners generally to be safeguard themselves against some of the wretched scams that take place in unregulated systems of medicine particularly. Yes. But having said that, I am a reader of much literature, and there's a good side of that and a bad side to it, but I think I'm able to interpret whether what I'm reading makes sense, is well written, and has a case for its use. Now, I preface this because I am encouraged to say to people, preferably with their doctor's monitoring, and I emphasise that, preferably with their doctor's monitoring, that they get hold of the recent literature that's been written on the work of a continental doctor. I think he was an Italian doctor. I think it was Dr. Constantino, who did some remarkable work on doses of vitamin B1. And if I'd have known your question was going to be raised today, I'd have brought in a copy of the book because I happily suggest my patients read it because the case that's made in that book, and by the way, if you are interested, ring my clinic number in New Lambton and they can tell you a lot about the book. It's inexpensive, very inexpensive. But well written, and a case is made there supported by case histories. And those case histories, those case histories, I can pick up reasonably well whether they've been so-called doctored or fiddled with or whatever. No, these are genuine case histories where people using the protocol of graduated doses of vitamin B1 have seen, in many cases, an improvement, sometimes dramatically, in stopping the progress of the condition. Now, I've put myself out on a limb there because many antagonists will say, there he goes again, he's flogging something which hasn't got a hope in heaven of working. Well, I've been called that a lot of things throughout my 50 years and it doesn't worry me any longer. But look, if you are in the early stages, I would seriously suggest you get on the net, look at vitamin B1, just punch in vitamin B1 Parkinson's disease, but ring my New Lambton rooms. The receptionist on the switchboard will give you my number and talk to my staff. I'll be back there in about an hour, but you must, I must emphasise this, you must read that text, and I encourage you, because I've received no objection from any doctor so far about their patients trying this, I would encourage you to run past your good GP or your specialist your intention of trying this. The B group vitamins are water soluble. They're safe, even in graduated dosages. Now, the second thing that is showing a great deal of interest in the profession, with some very significant literature to support it, is a herb called lion's mane. Now, again, you look, get on the net. I have just finished reading a huge paper written by medical academics on the, admittedly, most of them coming from Asia, but so what? Excellent article. There's some good information there suggesting that this herb does have some supportive effect in lessening neurodegenerative activity. So there are two things.
This is very encouraging. Thank you so very much.
There are two things. But again, it's important that you don't see this as being the answer. I have in my whole career, I've promoted the idea of complementary medicine, that is, medicine practiced ideally under the enthusiasm and direction of broad-minded general practitioners. And it would be good if after your initial reading you were to discuss this with your general practitioners. The things that I'm referring to do not require any script. So at the end of the day, it would be you that would have to make the decision. I can see no problem with vitamin B1. With lion's mane, I think you would need to be a little bit cautious about making sure of dosage, and ideally consult a practitioner, someone like myself who may be down there around Mona Vale, who can help work through a dosage for you.
I certainly will. I've been told, does echinacea have any effect?
No, it'd be wasting your time. Echinacea is what's called an antimicrobial remedy. It has no effect on neurodegenerative conditions whatsoever. Okay. That you'd be wasting your money.
Okay, and about eating cranberry or beetroot?
No. I love beetroot, and I don't mind cranberry. Cranberry's pretty good if you've got a UTI, a urinary tract infection, but I presume you haven't got that as well.
No.
Okay. Now, look, I say to you and all my dear listeners, don't take too much notice of what is circulated by people that have got the answer to your problem. You know what I mean? Everyone's got the answer to your problem, haven't they? But so far, I haven't seen too much joy in what you've mentioned to me.
Thank you so much for your call, Christine. Really appreciate it. Good luck with that. We've got Deborah from Newcastle on the phone. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for holding.
That's okay.
You've got a persistent urinary tract infection.
Not me. My mum's 98.
Yes.
And for the past 6 weeks, she's had a persistent urinary tract infection.
Oh, dear.
She's on her fourth lot of antibiotics, which finish in a day or two.
Yes.
With the UTI, she gets quite a severe delirium.
Yes.
And in the last 6 weeks, she has had a fall requiring stitches.
Dear.
And I'm at my wit's end work out what else we can do.
Okay. Deborah, I'll make a few suggestions which would not clash with what your dear mother's experiencing. And I do empathise with you, and I can understand the distress your dear mother is experiencing. I'm sorry to hear about that. First thing I would do, there is a substance which you could get from your pharmacist or a good health food store, and we have good pharmacies and good health food stores in Newcastle, and with reference to the pharmacies, I'm delighted that over my 50 years of promoting this system of medicine, the pharmacies have come more on side, and I've had the joy of teaching some of our good pharmacists in Newcastle. Similarly, we have some excellent health food store retailers that know what I'm talking about. A substance called D-mannose, D-mannose. I think it's M-A-N-N-O-S-E. Now, that's very safe. It can be taken both in a powdered form or an encapsulated form. It is very safe, and if you're fluent on the net, you could get information that would explain to you how it works. It is not an antibiotic, but what it does is alter the environment that feed infections in the urinary tract. Very safe, and a bit of a breakthrough in the management of UTIs. The second thing is, and you've probably been doing this, but if not, get some good cranberry juice. And you got mum on that, have you?
I've given her cranberries, but I haven't given her cranberry juice.
Well, look, I tend to think that the cranberry juice, pure cranberry juice, is the best way of harnessing its pretty well-proven benefits for dealing with chronic urinary tract infections. D-mannose and the use of cranberry would be very, very helpful, in my opinion. Now, the third thing that I would say is that there is a herb, a South African herb, called Buku, B-U-C-H-U, Buku. Now, it may be a little bit difficult to get. It's best used as a tea, a herbal tea. It's very aromatic, very pleasant to take. We stock it in my rooms at New Lambton, but try your pharmacy first. It acts as an agent that actually addresses the bacterial presence. But if you were to go that way, Demonos, the use of the cranberry, and something with buku in it, in my opinion, you've got a good chance of getting over this more quickly than what your mum's presently doing.
Okay. I've just got a question. Do you know what Hyprex is? H-I-P-R-E-X?
Hyprex. Say that again. Do I...
Do you know what Hyprex is? It's just something one of the chemists gave me. It's spelled H-I-P-R-E-X.
That sounds to be a product name. Do you know the active chemistry in it?
No, I don't. I don't have the bottle with me at the minute.
Okay.
No.
Look, respect what your good pharmacist has given to you. If your mum's still in distress, do ring my rooms at New Lambton, and we'll give you more advice if you can find out. I'm not familiar with the product, so find out what is in it, and I'd be happy to confirm what your pharmacist has done for you.
This is Health Naturally on 2 and URFM. We've got a few callers to get through and not much time, so we're going to go straight into it. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hello, Chris.
Hello.
How can we help you?
I have rosacea across my nose and a bit on my cheek. It's been there for a couple of years, and I've tried what the doctor office called Rosex.
Yes.
I've even tried something called bee venom, but nothing seems to... What the Rosex does, it stops the blisters forming, but it still leaves the redness.
Is your condition primarily the redness, or is it pustula as well?
So it can be pustular.
Okay. Are you postmenopausal or premenopausal?
Postmenopausal.
Okay. I'll make a few suggestions. Rosacea, for the sake of listeners, is a condition that usually affects the face and the nose particularly, and is characterised by an embarrassing level of redness and also at times some pustules. Rosex is a medication that's frequently prescribed for it. It is sometimes useful, but like many medications, is sometimes not useful. I'll make a few suggestions. I believe there's a hormonal factor here associated with this, and the herb Vitex agnus castus. Vitex, V-I-T-E-X, agnus, A-G-N-U-S, castus, C-A-S-T-U-S, is a remedy that I have found useful in a formula to address this condition, believing as I do that there is a hormonal activity happening here. At the same time, I use the herb echinacea, calendula, and golden seal. That is compounded. By that I mean that those herbs are put, they're all in liquid, and they're converted into what might loosely be referred to as a herbal tonic, although they're particularly targeting a condition. All those herbs are what we call antimicrobial remedies, and some of them also have a supporting effect on the body's production of anti-infection chemistry, if you like. You'd have to, Chris, probably see a professional. Always see if there are any around where you are, but if not, you can always consult at my rooms at New Lambton, but always search in your own locality first. Your pharmacy may have a compounding dispensary there.
Yeah, I've been to see our local pharmacy. The pharmacy's brilliant, John, and he did give me a product, but it didn't seem to do any good. He said he did a compound for me.
Okay.
He said probably the next thing would be some very strong antibiotics.
Antibiotics is frequently used, but I have found that where antibiotics are... have limited benefit, that sometimes the use of the herbal approach based on antimicrobial herbs and hormonal herbs have helped many of my patients. Not all, but many of them. Go back to your pharmacist, mention those herbs that I have mentioned. If he wants to contact me, I'll be happy to talk to him, because if he's a compounding pharmacist, he certainly has my support.
Good luck with that, Chris. All the best. Next on the line, we've got Jan from New Lambton. Hi, Jan.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for holding. Now, you want to talk about evening primrose?
Yes, I've taken the evening primrose for many years.
Yes.
And it's been marvellous for my hair and face and everything. And I swear by it. So I was very disappointed when I had a stroke and my heart specialist took me off the evening primrose.
Why did he do that?
Well, he said that it was detrimental to my medication.
So evening primrose oil?
Yes.
Okay, well, he might know something that I don't know.
Yes.
Because evening primrose oil, I have prescribed literally gallons of it in my 50 years, and many patients would have been patients on cardiovascular medication. Who am I to contradict your medical people? I never do that, as you know.
No, I know.
Albeit, I would question this. Question this. But, Jan, you're in New Lambton. What I suggest you do is ring my clinic there, give them the number. I'll have a look for you and give you my opinion. I have two references on my desk, which I constantly refer to, which are pharmacy and medical reference text talking about potential interactions and adverse effects associated with a whole range of herbs. I'll look into that for you. I will ring you back if you wanted to contact my rooms and give you my opinion. It would only be an opinion.
Yes, I know. I did go online and it did say not to take it when you had a heart attack. So I just went along with it because I've noticed such a big difference to my hair and nails since I've stopped taking it, because all the years I took it, I never had a problem with it, but now I've got dry hair and my nails breaking off and all this sort of thing. I know it's only superficial, but it's something that you do take care of.
Well, you're talking to one of the greatest fans that Evening Primrose would ever have. I could give a whole radio program on the remarkable benefits of this herb. I'm not contradicting your doctors at all. They may know something, and I'd be happy to find out about it, but I will certainly look into it, whether you contact me or not. I will certainly look into it. But as I say, I have not read that. But if your good medical managers have told you not to, I can't contradict it.
Okay. All the best, Jen. Hopefully you can get in touch with Dennis in his rooms. Dennis, we are pretty much out of time. We've got like 50 seconds. Dennis has been waiting to talk about restless legs.
You can talk about it. You can talk about it.
So,
this is the lady.
So I have a problem with restless legs. I use cypress oil. I grab the doTERRA cypress oil and I put that in a roller bottle, a 10-mil roller bottle. I put about 10 and 20 drops for me, because I have strong, like, restless legs. And then I fill the rest with fractionated coconut oil. And I roll it on my legs before bed at night, and I don't seem to have a problem. So that's
how
I do it. That's how I sleep. So, but if Dennis wants to know any other remedies, he might have to give you a call at your rooms.
She's learning quickly, listeners. She's learning quickly. She's ready to take over from me.
I am, and we are out of time. Thank you so much, Dennis. It's been a great show. We'll catch up with you next week on Health Naturally.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.